You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Cutting Corners. Turn to Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. But jump in here, Leviticus 19, and God is giving Moses instruction and telling Moses what to tell the people. And I'll read some of this beginning verse 1 to get down to one of these verses, a few of these verses, and then we'll jump to Deuteronomy and keep moving right. Leviticus 19, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" Now let me just stop there a minute. Here's part of our challenge. That mandate has not changed. And somewhere between God saying, "Be holy, for I'm holy," and you and I living the way we live, a lot of times unholy thoughts, unholy lives, but then in the New Testament, we have been declared holy. So if you're a believer, whether you like it or not, you are holy. So the question is, are you going to live up to what you've been declared or not? So he tells them, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molten gods, for I am the Lord your God. And if you offer a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it on your own free will. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and on the next day. And if any remains until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire. And if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an abomination. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, anyone who eats it shall bear his iniquity, because he has profaned the hallowed offering of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people." Now, let me just tell you something. Thank God you were born after the cross. Because these people had all kind of guidelines. You could mess up. You eat this offering the first, second, third day. It's an abomination. You know, you're in trouble. You could get in trouble so easy, and yet he still said, "Be holy." Now, the thing in the New Testament is God hasn't backed off of the being holy thing. It's just we abuse grace more than anybody has any idea. We cash that check. We are writing grace checks every day, way more than we should be doing. And you say, "Well, why was it so hard on them then and God is so merciful to us now?" He may not be as merciful to you now as you think. And for me, at least, I kind of live in this tension of, I know he's telling me to be holy. You say, "Yeah, but you're a preacher. You got to be." Whatever. You know, not necessarily. Anyhow, keep reading. Therefore, go down to verse 8, Leviticus 19, 8. "Therefore, anyone who eats it shall bear his iniquity, because he has profaned the hallowed offering of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people." Now, look at these next few verses. And out of nowhere, then, he goes to this harvest thing. If you sow crops, you sow seed, you reap a harvest. And he says here, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." Now we're going to read another passage where he talks about this in a minute. Simple deal about cutting corners. Part of what God is saying here to them is, don't consume everything. It's not all about you. And so literally, say you sow a field, and he said, here's the deal. I don't want you cutting corners in your spiritual life. I want you to leave some, because the poor are going to come along. And when they see your field, they'll go, "Wow, the guy must be a believer, must have a relationship with God, because he didn't just take everything. He left some for the poor. He left a stranger coming through, and there's something for the stranger." You understand what he's saying? Now go to Deuteronomy 24. Let me read it to you in another place. Deuteronomy 24. Look at this passage down in verse 19. "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. In other words, you've reaped, you've piled up your sheaf of wheat or whatever it is. You look back and go, ah, we forgot one. He says, don't go back and get it. Don't take everything. We're so busy hoarding and holding. This is mine. I made this money. I made all of this. It's my life. I worked hard. I'm not giving any of this away. And then you're a prisoner to your stuff. Every once in a while, just give something away. Leave something for somebody. So he tells him, you know, look where he goes in this passage. When you reap your harvest in your field, you forget a sheaf in the field. You shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Now, what is he saying? You say, well, he's already blessed me. Look what I've got. He can cut it off. If he thinks that you are greedy about your gain, he says, you know what? You can't handle this because you won't leave enough for the fatherless, the widow, and a stranger who comes through. That's how locked into yourself you are and your stuff. You say, well, that's right. Preach to the rich people. I'm preaching to all of us. Don't be shoving it down the aisle. I'm glad old so-and-so's here. He probably needs to share some of his stuff with me. You might need to share some of your stuff with somebody else too, because we all got more than we need. I'd share some of my shoes with you, but nobody wants my shoes, so. Keep reading. Then he goes on, he says, when you beat your olive trees, and it's not because they're angry, it's just how you harvest olives. You beat the tree, the olives fall. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows. In other words, you beat them, you gather it, and don't go back. Let's see if we left something. You need to leave something, he says. For the fatherless, for the widow again. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. In other words, you leave it for people who have no way to do it. So a widow, she's trying to feed her family. She goes out in the fields in a vineyard and all. You say, well, she's stealing. No, it was built into the system. It's a way to provide and make sure that nobody gets left out. And then look at verse 22. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. In other words, God here says, the reason we're doing this is you had nothing. You were a slave, and I have brought you out of slavery, and I have blessed you. So don't become all that thinking, well, I'm a self-made man. That doesn't exist. There is no such thing as a self-made man. God made all men. And it's whether you recognize that or not. And now the question is, what am I going to do? You say, well, but am I supposed to give it all away? That's not even what is said here. Bring in your harvest. Do your work. Plant. Do all that. Just leave a little here and there for somebody less fortunate. And then people, you know, and I'm even guilty of this. People say, well, but if that were me, you know, what if some lazy strangers come through? We don't want to be helping lazy strangers, do we? Well, then we're going to have to stop helping all of us too, because we all got lazy, strange days ourselves. Don't be analyzing all that. And you say, what is this about? So at Christmas time or something, Thanksgiving, these holidays, I pull up to a stoplight and there's a guy there holding a sign and he's smiling big, trying to, you know, lazy but honest, please help. You know, that sign I'd give money to right there. Lazy but honest, please help. I'd give him cash all day long. And you go, you know, I don't want to make eye contact. Am I supposed to give that guy money? You're supposed to do whatever God tells you to do, and you've got to be listening enough to know what you're supposed to do. You say, well, how do you know that? You know that because if you have a working relationship with him, he tells you yes, and he can tell you no. So he says to him, and you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. And by the way, this is not an option. It is a command. So pay attention to these things. So, well, does this principle gone away? No. Say, well, God, how am I supposed to do that? Let him show you. Get creative. Find ways to help somebody. You say, well, I got stuff left over in my business or whatever. You know what? Well, find somebody in need. You say, well, but it's brand new stuff. Well, I can't be giving somebody brand new stuff. What if you were in a bad spot and somebody walked in with not a bunch of junk, but what's horrible about church stuff is people bring their old 286 computers off at the office. Like, we don't want that junk if you don't want it. Why are you gonna bring your junk to the church? Well, I bet they can use it. Well, if you can't, we probably can't either. Well, now you're ungrateful. No, it's just crazy stuff. Melt it down or something. Don't bring it to me. Bring something that works. Now, we are looking for a, In fact, it's printed in your bulletin, as a matter of fact. So. No, it's not. Go to Ruth chapter 2. It's in there, look in the table of contents. Ruth, Ruth chapter 2. Great story. I can't read you the whole thing today. I just want to show you where this is not just stuff over in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and it didn't really happen. People got this. Ruth chapter 2, there's a story about Ruth, her mother-in-law Naomi. Their husbands had died, they're widows, and Naomi's going back to her hometown, and Ruth doesn't know where to go. She says, "Oh, I'm going to go with you. Beseech me not to leave you or forsake you." A great famous quote out of there. "Wherever you go, I'll go. Your people be my people, your God my God." So she follows her, and they go back, and here's Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. "There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz." Remember Boaz. "So Ruth the Moabitess," she's not even from there, "said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor.'" So what is she doing? They go through and harvest, and Boaz is a Jew. He knows what the deal is. Here's a widow. She goes after the harvest, and she's picking up, gleaning something for herself. And they allow for this. "And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, 'It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab.' And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." And by the way, she worked hard. This is not about just a handout. These strangers, widows, orphans had to come through. They had to work, but there was something to work for. "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? I've protected you, provided for you. And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn.' So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?'" Now, you know what I love about the Bible, this works anywhere on the planet. A widow, her husband dies. She goes to another place she's not from. They're reaping and sowing. There's crops, there's fields. And a guy says, "You know what? I got people harvesting here. I've told them not to rape you, not to mess with you in any way. Leave you alone. Just follow my girls, follow my harvesters, my reapers, and there'll be some for you." What an astonishing moment. You say, "Well, what's that about?" It's most of the planet trying to survive one day at a time. Go down, where do we leave off? "Why have I found favor?" Then verse 11, "And Boaz answered and said to her, 'It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing you have come for refuge.' Then she said, 'Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, 'Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread into the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not reproach her.'" In other words, now it's not what's left. Let her even take from what you've, with your sickles out there, have harvested. She can take some of that. Now, why have I read you this as an example? Go to Matthew chapter 1, New Testament, Matthew chapter 1. We're jumping hundreds of years down the road here. What ends up happening is in the pecking order in marriage stuff, there was somebody that had the right to marry Ruth who passed. There's a shoe exchange. You have to go read it. It's kind of strange, but it's how they did it. The guy passes on the shoe deal, and then it falls to Boaz, and he can marry Ruth and take her in, okay? So this is just some stranger, as it turns out at first, who's out there doing what is allowed, but it turns out the stranger becomes his wife. Now, if you think that's not crazy enough, look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. Judah begat Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nahshon. Good thing we don't use these words anymore. And Nahshon, now watch this, and Nahshon begat Salmon, not Solomon. No, pay attention. Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. And if you go back and read this about Rahab, she is a harlot. She's a whore who saved God's people, was saved because she delivered the city into their hand. Anyhow, so Salmon, this guy, ends up marrying this prostitute, and they have a son, and his name is Boaz. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. So this little girl who decides to father her mother-in-law, and because there was a principle in place that you don't cut corners in the process, you leave it out there, she hits that field, ends up married, and in the providence of God and the provision of Boaz and the protection that he offered, she gets in the lineage of Jesus. Because if you keep reading, it goes on where Jesus is born. Now you say, well, what does that mean? It means that all these little things add up. And when you get out of yourself, and I get out of myself, and I am generous, and I leave something for somebody else, and think about other people for a change, that all of a sudden things start to open up, and God can use all that to make connections. Because no one wants to have a relationship with a stingy hoarder anyway. That Ebenezer Scrooge attitude, it's all mine. An old man told me years and years ago, he said, you cannot outgive the Lord. Not going to happen. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. We'll finish with this. Keep going to the right. Hebrews chapter 13. And this chapter has, it just kind of has some like bullet points, things he hits. And I'm going to read some of these and get down to one of these verses to go with what we're talking about today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, he says, let brotherly love continue, assuming that it has been going on. Look at this verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now, I'm all with being wise and careful and, you know, well, there's a stranger. Let's put him in our car and take him home. You might end up seeing Jesus quicker than you thought, you know. So I'm not an advocate of doing crazy stuff. Don't be unwise. But also don't get so freaked out you can't, you know, you come to church like this, you're in this gathering, you meet someone, you say, hey, you know what? Would you like to go to lunch with us? And the guy says, well, you know, not really. And say, you know what? I'll buy you lunch. I meet people, don't go to lunch. I meet guys, they're married, they got three or four little kids. They haven't gone out to eat in years. So pay attention. You say, well, what does that have to do with all this? It means you look at someone and say, hey, go to lunch with us. We'll buy your whole family lunch. You want to go to lunch? Little kids, you know, we get ice cream, you know, whatever they think's coming with that. You might bless the socks off of somebody, and it's nothing for you to go to lunch. And it's just, for you, it's just leaving something in the field. You say, well, it might cost me another 30, 40, 50 bucks. You know what? If you get outside of yourself, you're probably going to spend that buying something you don't need anyway. You won't end up with it. So why not bless somebody? Then you go to lunch, you sit there and you, how are you guys doing? What's going on? And then you realize, wow, I never would have met these people. And some of us, and this is, you go back to that Deuteronomy passage, why did he tell them to do it? He said, because you were a slave. And very simply put, if the older you get and if things improve, all of us almost can go back to a time when things were not so good. When we had stresses, when we couldn't go to dinner, when we couldn't go to lunch, when we didn't have enough to do any of that. So pay attention, look around, you see a young couple or some single mom or a widow or whatever, you go, you know what, hey, come with us. You say, well, they're going to feel obligated. No, they're not. They're going to feel full. They're going to feel blessed. And you're going to end up meeting somebody you never would have known maybe. Is this making, this is like really practical, I think. Does it make sense? Okay, look around. Find a way, say, God, use me, my resources, surprise people. That's one of the coolest things in the world. Surprise somebody this year. My address is, let's see. You know why I know something about all this? because I've been on both ends of this deal. And as cool as it is for someone just to knock you down and bless you, which I've had happen, it happens to me, there is nothing like conniving and figuring out a way to get something to somebody where they can't trace it to you. And then maybe you hear about it, maybe you don't. You'll hear about it in heaven, because heaven hears about it when they open the envelope or it happens. Think about this year. Just say, you know what? What do I really want? What would I just go out and buy if I had the money? And you say, Lord, I'd really like a 52-inch flat screen TV, because the 45-inch one at the house, just not quite big enough. And then look at your wife and say, you know what? We got the money. We were going to go buy that. I tell you what, why don't we pass on that and let's go buy four TVs and give them to people who don't even have one, maybe, and bless their little family. You see what I'm saying? It's simple stuff. And then God looks down and goes, well, I'll bless that, because I can trust you, because you're not going to eat all your seed. You're going to spread the wealth a little bit. Hebrews chapter 13, keep reading. Don't forget to entertain strangers. By doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And I read these verses, and then some of you who are fornicators and adulterers. Does anybody not know what a fornicator is? I'll try to be nice. I'll explain this. It's not someone who lives in Forney, Texas. That is not what this is. It's a very old joke, but it still works. Fornicators, he was judging them right there. Okay, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself said. And this is where people jerk verses out of the Bible. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at the context of where that is. It's about being content. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to abandon you. So don't be covetous. Be content. You got food, you got clothing, you're going to be okay. There's some other good stuff here. We don't have time to read it. Go down to verse 18. Therefore, by him, talking about Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Do something right. Do something good for somebody. Share. Give something away. And teach this to your children. And then they get the experience of handing it. Go to some hospital. Do something. Get your kids out of themselves. Off the couch, off the Nintendo, off of something other than themselves. And think about somebody else. And stop cutting your corners.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. Or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Let me read you a definition for this thing. Cutting corners is to do something in the easiest, quickest, or cheapest way, often harming the quality of your work. You want to find your life? What did Jesus say to do? Lose it. Give yourself away. Say, God, everything that I have, everything that I am, my time, my everything, I was a slave. I was in bondage, and you set me free and you have blessed me. Now I'm asking you to use me. And then look for opportunities. You know what? You got shoes. You got cars, you got houses, you got stuff that if Jesus said, give it away, you'd hesitate. I recommend giving that stuff away. Get rid of anything that's got you and you'll be okay. And stop cutting corners and being holy and living the Christian life, and let God bless people through your life. Do something extraordinary. Do something extreme. That's what he's done for us. What if he had sat on his throne and said, losers, wipe them all out, we'll try again. Almost got to that. But Jesus was in the mix and was willing to come, born of a virgin, live a sinless life, die on a cross, be buried and raised from the dead to give little old me another chance to get in on this process. And as I'm harvesting my little life, be a part of leaving some corners open for somebody to come through and bless them in some way.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.